Hot Bubble Audio.
Last week, week before, I got a cassette player, just like a cheapo $30 one, because
amazing.
There is something so satisfying about this.
Yeah, the tactileness of it.
Yeah.
It's even, the same reason you enjoy. Is this a topic?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. What are we doing?
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks for Two Geeks Be Out with Beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my man who likes to start topics before we start recording. It's Frank. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. I'm doing super well. We are here to talk all things geek. But first, before we do that, what are you drinking today?
So I am drinking a Sam Adams Breakaway Blonde Ale.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. This was from their winter seasonal pack that had not Porch Rocker, but Cold Snap and a couple of the their other wintertime ones. Yeah, it's a really nice light, not super light. It's a blonde ale, right?
Right. So it's a bit of a dryness, but not too much.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of the red wine of beers, right?
The
red wine of beers. Yeah. Yeah. Very balanced. It's a little a nice little touch of hops. I really really enjoy it.
That's awesome. I love that for you. Speaking of the winter pack.
Oh, yes.
I'm drinking a Sam Adams Alpine Lager.
There you go. The very same pack.
The very same pack. Brisk and smooth. We are not in the same room, so this was completely accidental.
Yes, completely accidental.
Well, you know, from our perspective, awesome. Over here in the north, the further north, it's still winter. And so
yes.
Spring has not yet sprung yet, so this is a legitimate beer. I don't care what's on tap. In any of the places, it's still winter.
No, it absolutely still is.
Yeah, it's like 99 degrees outside over here. It's still winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So
I still got piles of snow on some street corners that haven't melted.
Really?
Still, yeah.
Wow. Well, you are further north than I am.
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
I haven't had snow in a little while, but
we've had a couple of 50 degree days. It maybe touched 50.
Oh yeah.
Once or twice so far this spring. This late winter.
Oh yeah, we've had quite a few over here.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah. But yeah, quite a few. It's definitely felt like spring for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, but just kidding, it's still winter.
Yeah.
I don't really mind. I like the winter.
I do not.
Really?
I've never liked winter. I always hated winter.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could like up and move to Arizona, would you?
No. Because like my family is here and stuff, right? So like
okay, in a morbid twist of question.
Sure. Here, there's been an accident. Oh, now. No. In a perfect world, I don't think I would want to live that far out west. I think I might settle for somewhere in the Midwest. That's a little bit more, a little milder.
Midwest known for its mild winters.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, though, like slightly south Midwest, where it's like you're not like on the Gulf of Mexico, but you're also like not in Tornado Valley. Like,
yeah, if such a place exists.
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I don't know that it does.
But the top of Louisiana.
OK, how about this? What I'm saying is, and I mean this in the most, you know, realistic of ways, I basically just want to live in the Kansas that's in like the Wizard of Oz. And I don't really, you know, that is just that, but only that. Is that
okay?
Cool? No, you know, truly though, I could see myself doing some like some version of like go spend a month or two with the family in like another country, and then for a big chunk of the winter, and then come back the rest of the year.
Okay, I can settle for that. I don't think I want to live in the Kansas of the Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
There are twisters,
mm.
and there are middle-aged women who try to take your dogs away from you, and it's the Dust Bowl.
Mm.
This is a really bad combination of things, actually.
Truly is.
You know, the Wizard of Oz whole, like, central thesis is that, like, you should never leave home because, like, home is, like, the most important thing. And then,
yeah,
like,
it is kind of.
If you go somewhere to have a life or to have your own idea of want or need, like, it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're, yeah. There's no place like home, so why would you leave home?
Right, there's no place like home, so that's, like, why would don't leave? Don't leave home.
Stay
like,
home.
Needs you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so, like, specific to that time.
Yes.
Like, no, we need you on the farm. Because, like, you first you're with her. She's like, yeah, I want to go over the rainbow, and it's going to be great. And as soon as she gets over the rainbow, she's like, I need to go home immediately.
Yeah.
This is terrible. I hate this.
Like, that is what happens, essentially. I mean, it really is a tale of, like, a little girl who dreamed big and got to, oh, wow, I got to realize my dreams. But then I realized that the home is better after all. I really,
it's scary out there.
Ooh, yeah. You know, be better off just staying home. It seems great. It seems all glitz and glam and munchkins and everything and emerald cities and horses of different colors. But
what's that thing where the Amish send their kids out to like go?
Oh, Rumspringa.
Rumspringa, right. It feels like that. Here's your Rumspringa. Kills two.
That's it. Yeah.
I need to go home immediately.
It's your Dust Bowl Rumspringa.
My daughter has gotten into the Wizard of Oz quite recently.
Oh.
She woke up sometime last week and she was like, Daddy, can we watch the Wizard of Oz? And I said, those words have never come out of your mouth before. Like, what? Didn't even know you knew that was a movie.
Wow.
Yeah, so of course, like, she loves the Wicked Witch more than anything because she's my kid, so, like,
the
Wicked
Witch. She always likes the villains, right?
Always. It's like, you can count on it now. Because, like,
that's amazing.
Like, Dorothy's walking around with, like, the Scarecrow or whatever. She's like, where's the witch? You watched Snow White for the first time with me yesterday. First time. Yeah. My parents read her the book. I've read her the book, whatever. Snow White's on screen singing with the animals. She's like, where's the witch? Where's the queen? Like, she's in her castle. Just watch Snow White. Be Snow White. And she's not, like, unhappy to watch other characters. Like,
yeah, yeah. Her,
but, like, she thinks the witch shows up and she's like, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
Or the queen shows up, there she is. This is way better. So, it's great. My favorite thing is I've got her to say, she said the thing now. Have I told you this?
The thing?
Yeah, so, like, when a character says something that, like, you, like they say all the time, like, I'll get you my pretty and your little dog too, or whatever. Oh. She'll turn to me, she goes, she said, hey.
Oh my gosh, that's precious.
When she, like, does it on her own, like, I don't tell her what the thing
is.
So she just, like she'll say, like, come on, and she'll turn to me, she said the thing. Like, you know, like, it's awesome. Like, you know, she'll get there. She'll be like, Luke, you know, it'll be like, no, I am your father. And he said the thing, like, you know, it's awesome.
It's so entertaining.
It is really entertaining. So it doesn't happen tons, but it is. Frank, speaking of entertainment, before we started recording, I noticed that you have a fine piece of entertainment right behind you.
Oh, yes.
And so could you please tell the people listening at home who don't have my eyes what I'm looking at?
Yeah, we were just talking about, I picked up this collector's edition, VHS collector's edition of the Star Wars trilogy. It's the 1995 THX edition for, you know, collectors. You know, that's, it's that famous one with Vader, the Stormtrooper, and Yoda on the covers. So I just, you know, always liked the look of this set, and I never owned it. So I picked it up on eBay for $25 in very nice condition, like very good condition. And Tim was admiring the box it came in. I was showing him that the widescreen, as I dropped Empire, the widescreen edition came in a collector's box that I'll link to in the show notes. And it's just fun to collect, you know, legacy media, classic formats of media, even if just for the display piece. I actually did watch these, and I made digital copies for myself to sort of
that's good. That's them. Like, yeah. So in case like one day that cassette actually does die because
yeah,
it's just 30 something years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Like then
I don't know. I just like I'm like that. I'm a digital pack rat, and I archive such things.
That's okay. There's like, it's funny, you could go in one direction or the other, right? You're like, I have 1,000 cassette tapes.
Yes.
Or VHS tapes, or I have 1,000 digital files. I'm like, well, one of them takes up much less room in the garage.
This is true.
Yeah. So like, pack rat your digital stuff all you want. Who cares? Like,
yes, yes.
What are you going to do? Get another external hard drive? Go for it. You know, like, whatever. That's fine. You kind of turned me on to, in some ways, to like thinking about collecting older things that I have before in my, like, I have a Commodore 64
keyboard
in my office.
That's right.
Didn't come with the rest of it. It just came with the keyboard, which is like, that's the best part. I don't want the monitor that doesn't work. Like, whatever. I want the keyboard that doesn't work.
But at least come on.
But at least it clicks, you know, makes sound, right? I love old technology that people don't care about anymore. Like, like, it is fun to collect, but it is also really fun to collect things that are actually inexpensive. I have a cassette player myself. Listen to that snap.
Oh,
it's good stuff. But I got the, Frank, you know this, I got the, on eBay, the BBC's 1980s Lord of the Rings radio show, all in cassette tape, came in like a really nice box. It's good stuff.
How many cassettes is that? Is it like 10, 15?
Let's see. Great question. Let me see. I'll count. You talk.
Yeah, it's a very nice looking box. Also, a long, deluxe edition box that has all the cassettes, like gilded edge cassettes all throughout it. And it looks like it's about how many?
13
cassettes.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Where
it's like, now I have the digital of this. It's on Audible. Like,
oh sure,
do it on digital. I had, when I was a kid, I had the CDs they got from BG. And so I think my mom gave them to me. So, and that was like really not my first exposure to Lord of the Rings. I think by the time I got the CDs, I had already read the books and I had definitely seen the movies. And so, but it was like a great way of like keeping up with the story and it kind of sinking into my subconscious or whatever. But
yeah,
I have no idea what happened to the CDs. And they're actually quite expensive now.
Yes.
But the tapes are basically the same quality and they're just so fun. So I guess my question for you is like, are we stupid?
A little bit. You know what we are is nostalgic, I think is really what we are.
Cyclical. It's going back.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I've been on into vinyl. I mean, really, I've been into vinyl like my whole life, but, you know, I've really been participating in the vinyl culture the last year or two. A lot. I've been building up my collection more, you know, keeping track of it and stuff. And from there, I've sort of gotten into cassettes and CDs to a degree. And just enjoying listening to stuff on those old formats. It is a nostalgic thing for me. Very much for the same reason that people like paper books. You know,
it's a great question. So is it this? All right. Is it?
That's how I approach it anyway.
All right. So can you? All right. I don't know if I can get on board with that the same way. I understand the idea that, like,
sure.
I say with like however many paper books behind me.
Yes.
A ton of paper books right behind me.
Yes.
So, but the paper book hasn't really changed. So
sure,
you
sure
argue that like there is a difference between reading a hardcover, reading a trade paperback, which is the sure bigger, softer cover, and then the mass market, which is like, you know, the smaller, pocket sized.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all physical. They're all physical books.
Yes.
But they're like the quality of like what I'm looking at on the page is basically the same, but the sound quality is different between vinyl, between the cassette, between the CD and the digital file.
Yeah, no, that's, so, you're right.
Yeah, so that's why. So I think you're right in like, because like I go through waves of interest in like how I read my media. So, well, actually, it depends. So like, I prefer to read my comics digitally. You know, I don't want the trade paperback, and I don't want the single issues anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I only want it digitally. But I like my books. I prefer my books in print, though I go through strong waves of reading on my Kindle, where I just like feel like it's time to read on my Kindle. And then as far as media, as music is concerned or audiobooks, or whatever, I basically always prefer digital. And like this cassette thing is like, I'm not going to go out and get every audiobook that I've like ever wanted on cassette or any piece of music, like, because it is, I want to say it's inferior, but like, I'm like in it for the clicky sound and not necessarily for something in my hand, but not necessarily, for the quality of the product. Right.
I get you. Yeah. I get you there. If you already have on your phone, you already have the best quality version of the product, right? Like you already have the highest fidelity recording that you're going to have. But listening to it on a cassette is you're not listening to it because of the audio quality. You're listening to it because you like the whole thing of opening the cassette and taking it out and putting it in and rewinding it and like all of that stuff that surrounds it.
Correct.
The tactile stuff that surrounds it is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know what, but to keep going on that, I like that, but I'll be damned if I get a DVD or a Blu-ray and I have to put that into the DVD player. Yeah,
same.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. So, like, what's the difference? Like, why will I willingly, like, okay, I'm on, like, cassette number 10 and take it out and open it up and do the thing, like, but I, like, won't do that. From like, all right, we're gonna watch, I don't know, something, some movie, Air Force One.
Sure, you know? Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, it's not streaming. Oh well.
Well, I don't feel like going to get the DVD, so we're just gonna skip it. Yeah.
Just
like,
skip it.
Right.
Wait, yeah. What's the difference? You said you watched those three Star Wars movies that you got on cassette, on VHS.
Yes.
You put them in a VCR.
Yes.
Which the world has forgotten its name, I feel.
We just call it VHS player. Yes.
Right, but that's not what it is.
VCR.
It's a VCR.
Yeah.
Everyone called it anyway.
Yes. I know. This was a word that everyone used 20 years ago, and now we've lost it completely?
Just gone. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
How old are we?
No kidding. Well, that's okay. Whatever. So, like, you were fine putting those tapes in.
Yes.
But you have the DVDs to Star Wars and the Blu-rays, I'm sure.
Blu-rays, I do, yes.
Yeah, so, like, but you won't put those in.
Yeah, not unless I feel really motivated. I'll say this about Blu-rays. If it's a movie that I really, you know, if I'm ready to sit down and watch the best picture quality I can get, Blu-ray is gonna be better than streaming.
It is.
By a lot, especially if you're going to do that, like it's going to stream at a much higher, it's going to play at a much higher bit rate and the data is right there rather than having to stream it over the internet. Anyway. So that's the one thing where I sometimes I'm like, all right, tonight I feel like watching, Terminator, but I want to watch my nice Blu-ray of it that's one thing. But most times I'm not doing that. Most of the time it's just, oh, Air Force One isn't on streaming. Okay. Well, I don't feel like it.
Oh, well. So I guess my next question is it the type of physical media that actually is bothersome? And I've never really thought about this before. Like, but like my wife and I also do a lot of vinyl. So like,
yes, that's right.
I'll put on the vinyl. Like, you know, like that's easy. Even if we had cassettes, if that was the thing, I'd put on the cassette, but I don't want to put on the CD and I don't want to put on the Blu-ray and I don't want to put on the DVD. And here's why. You can't touch it.
Yeah.
You can't really hold a CD. You have to
put
it on the side. You can't like, oh, it'd be smudgy or this, and they're finicky and they scratch easy and all this stuff that goes along with it. And they're just not as I don't want to say fun to handle, but they're just like, they're not as fulfilling because like, I can wave a cassette tape around and I can hold it whatever which way I want and I can gesticulate with it and I can do whatever and it's not going to damage the product. And I can basically do that with a vinyl too. Like, I could hold it horribly, you know, but like, does that make sense?
Yeah. So you are really like, I get what you mean about like, it's just being able to have it not be so fragile and be something, an object you can interact with more rather than like, okay, try not to touch it. Just put it in the machine. Like, you're arguably trying not to interact with the disc, right? Like,
right.
The object is to touch it as little as possible.
Right. So if I'm going to do that, I might as well take the next leap forward and just frame it, which is the least amount of interaction.
Exactly. I that's interesting. I haven't thought about it that way, but this is interesting that's how you see it. I've thought about it from like for me, it's the formats that I have nostalgia for versus the ones that I don't. Nostalgia for or like curiosity about. But like I don't have nostalgia for DVDs because they never went anywhere. And they're from my lifetime. So like, that's just not,
but
something I'm that,
but VC, but tapes are from your lifetime too.
But they pre-existed me too. Right. So like that's part of the allure of it for me.
Sure. You were around the first DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You remember the first DVD you ever got?
I think it was, I think it was The Andy Griffith Show. I think it was like a few episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. Strangely.
That's so awesome. That's like so on par like with what I would hope and expect from you.
I think it was like on sale at Walmart and that's like where we got our DVD player. And so that came home with us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I don't know the exact timeline of mine. It's either like one or the other way around. I'm pretty sure it goes like this. For my first DVDs I got were for my 8th grade graduation. Pretty sure my 8th grade graduation. And it was Citizen Kane and Air Force One. Quite a double billing.
Yeah,
if there ever was one. And so if it worked the other way, the first one I got was Jurassic Park 3, which I would have gotten for Christmas. So okay. I'm just not sure. Like I'd have to just look. I can't remember when Jurassic Park 3 came out. Whether it was 2001 or 2002.
I guess
use my one look up. Actually, I will solve the mystery of my life right now.
Yeah, that seems worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, knowing full well that it took like 6 months for the thing to come out on DVD.
DVD.
Jurassic Park 3 came out in 2001.
Okay.
So, and that came in the summer of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it would have gotten it in for Christmas of 2001, which means it was not my first one. Okay. Right, because I graduated.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What? So there it goes. There we go.
Yep.
Arguably, my first DVDs are better movies. So
yeah,
like satisfied with that turn of events.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's the nostalgia thing. That's what does it. Like I love the experience of like what like it reminds me of like, oh yeah, it used to look like this or it used to sound like this. And in some cases, you know, I do like the sound of vinyl. I do like the sound of a cassette. I'm nostalgic for the sound of a cassette.
Grainy.
Yeah. It just reminds me of like, it has like a cozy feel for me. It reminds me of like being a kid. It's just like I actually have gone as far as like recording, you know, like a Spotify playlist onto a cassette just for the vibes. Just listening to it like what it sounds like on tape.
So do you do that old school, like where you get a blank cassette and you hit record?
Yes.
And you sit it next to the speaker and you just let it go?
I plugged my iPad into my tape recorder, yeah, and just hit play on the iPad and record on the tape. and then just listen to it later. Like I just turned the sound down on the speakers and went about my day, and then listened to the tape later when I had the chance. Just purely for the vibes, and it was fun. I'm not doing it every day. I mean, it's a time intensive thing, but like, yeah, it was a fun thing to do just to sort of enjoy the vibe.
What do you do with your cassette player? Like you have, like, do you walk around with it, or like do you go walk with it? Like, how do you use it?
Yeah, I mostly use it either like walking around my house, and keep in mind I work at home, so I'm talking about like during the workday, or honestly in bed, I'll fall asleep to something on tape.
Steve Chandler from Friends. You are a strong con.
Yes.
You do not need to smoke. Is there a piece of like older tech that you like want to invest some of your time in? Because like arguably collecting tapes or whatever is pretty cheap. Like
it's a very cheap hobby. Yeah. That's been my favorite thing about it.
Yeah. Just like it's almost harder to find them. That is to like just collect them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You can pick up audio cassettes for a dollar or two, for the most part. People have lots of them. They'll be like, oh, here's 50 cassettes from the 80s, and like you can pick them up on eBay for $30 or something. Like it's a very cheap and easy hobby to get into. Mm. But I don't know. I find that to be one of the another like fun thing about it, right? It's like, oh, it doesn't even cost a lot to get into it. But anyway, to answer your question, what is a format that I haven't? There's not many left at this point, I feel like, that I haven't had a chance to dabble in. I don't know. It's an interesting are you, to take a step away from like entertainment at like media, mm-hmm. but still like old tech. I've never had the chance to sit down and use a classic Macintosh, like the first 1984 Macintosh.
I used to have them when I was in school.
We had Apple IIs.
Apple IIs really the ones that like went to school, right?
Yes.
Those were the ones, yeah. So, yeah, unsurprising that.
Yes, yeah.
At the
Oregon Trail.
We had those too, but
yeah.
We had original like one button
Mac. Nice
Mac. Yeah.
Then we had iMacs. That was the first Mac I ever interacted with was the orange iMac.
Let's say that was also the first one I spent a real lot of time with, because the bookstore I worked at in high school had iMacs as that was our database and computer system. The transparent turquoise and all of that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Bondi blue.
Bondi blue. Is that what it was called?
Yes. Bondi blue, like Bondi Beach in Australia.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's what. And I hated it.
Yeah.
Like it was an awful system, and it like kept me away from Macs for so long.
Yeah.
Like even people using them in college, I said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not switching over. Even though I wanted the iPhone and not the Android, I recognized its superiority early.
Mm.
Want to make the switch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would like to go back to older phones. That's what I kind of miss.
Ooh.
like a stripped down, like I just need the messages, maybe email, and you know, like I don't even need phone call. I don't need the whatever.
Yeah
like I think I do miss that like ability to remove myself.
Yes.
Off the device easier, like apart from like when you're a kid, you're like, I might get a text message, really, it's so important.
Sure.
But that's what I think I would love to like go about for a couple of days with an older phone, even a, like a BlackBerry with a keyboard.
Uh-huh.
But let me just go backwards for a little while.
I do like that idea. I've done sort of like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, not use my phone for it's Saturday, I'm gonna put it in a drawer for 24 hours or whatever. I've done that like once or twice. It's hard to do, just to keep in touch with family and stuff, even, right? So it's hard to do. But I have a thought a lot that like I would love to have a weekend phone that was just like a dumb phone, like just for weekends, so I could still text, but it's gonna be T9, so like, you know, it's gonna entice me to text as little as I need to. and that kind of thing. But it's, and there are, you can do that, and there are, you know, there's this thing called the light phone, and there's a few others like it, but like it's a,
you have a
modern day dumb phone, and you can sort of switch between that and your smartphone. I think you set something up with your phone company, and it allows your number to go to both places or something like that. It just sounds like a very fiddly thing to set up, and you got to deal with the phone company, and I don't want to deal with it. So it doesn't really sound like it.
The light phone is like $300.
It's expensive. Expensive. I thought about like trying to find a used one or something on eBay or whatever, but yeah, regardless. Yeah. It's expensive, and it's a pain in the neck to set up. And so I haven't, that's not the solution I'm looking for. I wish there was a way to,
I don't think that technology is also like quite there yet. My list of specifications for things that I want the like this low tech phone to do is like, well, I would love it if I could still have my Audible.
Oh, sure.
And group text.
See, but I have an iPod. Yeah. I have an iPod for that.
You could, but then like all of a sudden now you're carrying three or four devices like it's 2008 and you're like,
yeah.
But why?
You know, you could just not, I guess.
You couldn't just, right, because like either way, you're still like looking at a blue light screen.
Sure.
Which is really the kind of the point of like
one of the main reasons to step away.
So it is interesting, like when you take away some stuff like, you know, your social media cleanse or whatever, and you take those things away from your phone, and you're all of a sudden you're just like, well, here it is. Like it's in my hand. So it is incredible, like, what you end up going to and pretty much what you ignore, like, everything else. You don't have games, social media. You're just like, well, there's the news.
Yeah. It's like, okay, or a book.
Or a book.
But see, this is where I've been making space where I can for, like, to sit and just listen to an album. Like, just sit in front of my stereo and just listen to music for 45 minutes. And you know, maybe have my phone there. But like really trying not to look at it, looking at it as little as I can, and just really like the only reason to pick up my phone would be like, oh, who played guitar on this album? And like, oh, okay, right. Yeah, it was Peter Frampton. Okay, yeah, you know, like whatever, like that kind of thing. But like as soon as I my curiosity is satisfied, put it back down. Don't look at the red dots. And it's just it's been a nice. I can't do it, you know. Certainly can't do it every day. Nope. But like, you know, when I have a few minutes where like, you know, my kid is napping or whatever, on like a weekend or whatever, that might be what I'll spend part of that nap time doing is like, okay, let me throw, you know, Band on the Run just had its 50th anniversary re-release on vinyl. Let me throw that on and like sit down and really listen to it closely and be able to like enjoy the nuances of the sound.
I think that's a wonderful place for you to start telling people where they can find us, Frank.
Oh, beerwithgeeks.com, certainly. Got to mention that one. You know, wherever you get your podcasts, certainly you can find us there, too. You can rate and review us there, too, subscribe. And, you know, you can always find us at patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio if you want to find us and say, here, take my money. That also is nice.
That also is good.
Yes.
So, Frank, it is lovely to be here with you using our high-tech technology to talk about low technology. It is a wonderful thing.
It is.
So, until next time, cheers.
Cheers.